Ezekiel chapter 34, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel, prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe unto the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves, should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Now this is a prophecy against the shepherds. Now the shepherds here are the leaders of Israel, those that should be going before, setting the example, leading the flock of God's people. This is the kings and the priests and the scribes and those that are put into authority over them. Now the word shepherd actually has the thought of leading, as we just said, but also the word pastor comes from this same basic word. We might look at Jeremiah 23, I believe it is, and verse 1. Woe unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture. So here the same is called pastors. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, against the pastors. So we have the same thought here, against the pastors, which we see in verse 4 then, are the same as the shepherds. And I will set up shepherds over them to feed them. So we have the same similar purpose is to lead and to guide and to protect and to keep. Now the church has officers in the church. You're reading the fourth chapter of Ephesians. The first two is apostles and prophets, which are foundational offices. Then we have evangelists, pastors, and teachers, which are carry out the full church period. And pastors are one of these, and which is the same as shepherds. As we said, I talked to a man one time, and he says, our church don't have pastors. And I said, well, what do you have? And he said, we have shepherds. But he didn't know that they were the same thing, but there's no difference in there. Well, these were false shepherds now. Now, we've had false prophets, now we have false shepherds. They don't feed the flock, but instead of feeding the flock, in verse 3, they eat the fat, and they're clothed with the wool, so they fleece the sheep to get the wool. Now God's people, or God's shepherds, are not called to fleece sheep unless they are the shepherd, the chief shepherd is there. They can't just go out and cut the wool off of the sheep in the natural. And in 1 Peter 5, I believe it is, we have a thought along that line. Let me turn over and read that for you. Now this is addressed to the elders. Again, the thought here is to shepherds as well. Verse 2, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre or for your own self-gain or for money, but with a ready mind, neither being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. This chief shepherd, of course, we know is the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are faithful shepherds, sub-shepherds, we might say, and along with the chief shepherd. In the last chapter of Hebrews, we find another verse 20. Now the God of peace hath brought again from the dead the Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. So here we have the chief shepherd and the great shepherd. Then in John 10, we have the good shepherd comparing with the false shepherds that run when troubles come. And that's over in verse 10 through, on down through 16 or so. But he said, the thief comes not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. Now this thief happens to be satanic forces that would steal the sheep, the wolf, and the bear. Remember when David was taking care of his father's sheep, and he said, a bear come in and a lion, and I just killed him. You know? He was a good shepherd. He had to learn how to shepherd sheep before he could learn how to shepherd people. But Jesus here said in verse 11, I am the good shepherd. So we had a chief shepherd, the great shepherd, and the good shepherd of the sheep. And a good shepherd, he gives his life for the sheep. He's willing to die. This is the outward proof of him being a good shepherd. There's a lot of pastors today aren't willing to die for the sheep. Don't ever be expect to be a pastor if you're not willing to give your all, because that's what a good pastor is, a good shepherd. But he that is a hireling, now this is what we're talking about in verse in our chapter, the hireling, and not the shepherd who's owned the sheep or not. They don't really belong to him. So when the wolf comes, he leaveth the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches them, scatters the sheep, and the hireling flees because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. He only cares what he can get out of it. Now we have people like that today. They go to a seminary to learn to be a preacher or a pastor, like a doctor would go to medical school, learn to be a doctor. It's simply a profession for him and not a possession. He doesn't really care. But here we have the good shepherd that really loves the sheep and was willing to lay down his life in behalf of the sheep. Anyway, we get back to our lesson. We can see that there are two kinds of shepherds. There's the faithful shepherd, the good shepherds, and then there are the hirelings. Well, these are hirelings that we see here. Now, Isaiah tells us about these kind in the 56th chapter of Isaiah. Zacharias talks about them in the 11th chapter of Zechariah, verse 16. And so we know they are this kind. They don't care. Verse 4, the diseased sheep. You've not strengthened, neither have you healed that which is sick, neither have you bound up that which was broken, neither have you brought again that which is driven away, neither have you sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have you robbed them. Notice the negative things against them. I believe there's six negative things I counted in this, and one positive. You forced cruelty upon them and rule. Verse 5. Now the first five, verse 4 verses, I might say this, is the accusation or the indictment against the shepherds. Then verses 5 and 6 is the consequences of the false shepherd's failures. Then in verse, that goes through verse 7, I guess. Well, anyway, verse 8 through 10 shows their sin, and then verse 11 shows God's work and what he's going to do about it. So the consequences of their failure is the sheep are scattered because they have no shepherd. Now, there may be a shepherd there, but they're not a shepherd. They're not doing their job, and they're not shepherding their sheep, so the sheep just wander away and do what they want. And they became meat for all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. If people are young, whether young spiritually or physically, they need supervision. They need to be led into the ways of the Lord. And even in the natural, they need to be supervised and led. Otherwise, they're going to get in trouble. They're going to scatter. They're going to run wild. And there'll be no one to direct their life. They become bewildered and upset. And so do sheep. And so verse 6, my sheep wandered through all the mountains and every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or to seek after them. Nobody cared. The mountains in prophetic language speak, and hills speak of kingdoms, and whether exceedingly exalted kingdoms or smaller kingdoms. They were scattered throughout them. They are scattered today. And who cares? Not very many people care, even today. In fact, you talk to most people, they hate the Jewish people. They don't want to even have them around. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Now here's their sin. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became meat to every wild beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherds search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves. This was their sin, you see. They fed themselves. Later on, we'll talk about fat ones. They become fat, and the flock became lean because they just cared for their own self. And again, we can think of the shepherds today that's like that. Therefore, O ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God. Now here's what God says about them. This is their judgment. I am against the shepherds. I will require my sheep at their hands and cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more. I'm going to draw a line, and this just isn't going to happen anymore. I'm going to make these shepherds responsible. The false shepherds in the world today are responsible for the sheep that are in there. And I thought, I was thinking about this earlier this morning, how very few are really feeding the flock. And the ones who are real shepherds, maybe even called shepherds, are feeding their flock not nutritional spiritual food. Let's say they're feeding them ice cream and cake every Sunday when they need beefsteak. You know, if a person had three children and they had a democratic form of government in their home, and so they had a vote. Now this is what you see in most churches, is it's a democratic form, and God never intended the church to be democratic. It's theocratic. And anyway, if they voted on what they was going to eat, the chances are that the children would outvote their parents, if there were three of them, and so they would not have very much. Well, this is what we have in Christendom, is the fact that the congregation tells the pastor what to preach, and the headquarters tell them what to preach, and they can't feed the sheep with the material they have to do it with. So not all of them are bad that does this. It's just the fact that it's being done, and the sheep aren't being fed, and they don't want anything. They're satisfied with ice cream and cake, and why should they want anything different? You know, you start feeding them substantial food, then they'll have to give them things they don't like. You like spinach, making your kids eat spinach because it's good for them. And so they'll fire the pastor if he gives them too much spinach. Thus saith the Lord God, verse 11. This is what he's going to do. Behold, I will both search my sheep and seek them out. Now God has been doing this, especially in the last few years. He's been working with Israel. Right after the turn of the century, he began to search out his sheep. And as a shepherd searches out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep and are scattered, so will I search out my sheep and deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. Now, he started when it was still day, but now we're getting into cloudy and dark times, and God is still searching out for his sheep. Now these sheep, if we know, in verse 31, you are my flock, the flock of my pasture are men, and I am your God, saith the Lord God. So these are Jewish people, actually, that he's talking to is the sheep of his pasture. And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries and will bring them into their own land. Now this was brought right after World War II. He brought them into their own land and fed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and all and in all the inhabited places of the country. Now, notice the change here from the past in verse 11 to the future. And this is what God is. He began by going into the nations in pleading with his people and forcing them to come to their own land. Then in verse 14, I will feed them in good pasture upon the high mountains of Israel. Not in the mountains scattered, not in the foreign nations, but at home, in the mountains of Israel. There their fold be, and they shall lie in good fold, and in the fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. So God is going to set up his kingdom at this time and feed his sheep as a good pastor. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord, so that they have plenty of food and plenty of rest. We also think of security in here, that they'll not have to worry about being the wolf coming. And I will seek that which was lost. Now this is just the opposite as we had in verse 4. They should have done that, but Jesus is going to do that and take care of them. But notice in verse 16, after he says, I'll bind that which was broken and strengthen that which was sick, but I will destroy the fat and the strong, and I'll feed the fat and the strong with judgment. I'm not going to feed them with sustaining food, but I'm going to feed them with judgment. Now, the fat has to do with those that ate of the flock, as we had in verse 3 and 4. And they became strong. The rest of the flock became weak. So the fat ones will be judged for their condition. Then in verse 17, and as for you, O my flock, and how God cares for his flock, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I judge between cattle and cattle, between rams and the he-goats. Now, the word cattle here has to do with small cattle. In Isaiah 7:25, it's the same phrase is lesser cattle. And so these are small. This could also be as lambs or sheep or even kid goats. But the contrast here is between the small domestic cattle and the rams and the he-goats. Now, rams, the word ram here has a thought of strength. The he-goats had a thought of a leading goat or a male goat that the females follow. So these will have one judgment, and the other will have another judgment, but he's going to judge between them, or there'll be degrees of them. Now, this same thought, as we have, is also carried over in the nations. Now, this isn't here, isn't talking about nations, but the thought is carried over in the 25th chapter of Matthew, where he says he'll take the sheep nations. These are the little, the delicate, the small nations that stood behind Israel in times were bad, and the goat nations, which refused to stand behind Israel, and he'll judge between them. But this will be after he takes his throne. Yeah, comes to his place of glory. Then in verse 18, referring to the rams and the he-goats, he asked a question of them, seeing it is a small thing unto you to have eaten up the good pasture, but you have treaden down with your feet the residue of your pasture, and have drunk from the deep water, but you must foul the residue with your feet. In other words, they ate where they want, but was it necessary for them to tread down the other good food so that the other sheep couldn't have any? Again, I think we see a selfishness, a self-centeredness. They drank all the deep water, the good water, and then they muddied up the rest of them, so the rest of the water with their feet, so that the others couldn't drink. And as for my flock, now here's the cattle of verse 17. As for my flock, They eat that which have been trodden with your feet, and they drink that which you have fouled with your feet. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God unto them, Behold, I will judge between the fat and the lean, the fat cattle and the lean cattle. Now here we have two kinds of cattle that are going to be judged. The fat cattle are those that made themselves fat, are well fed, select, beautiful cattle, and the lean cattle, the ones that didn't have very much to eat. Later on in the same chapter, we'll find out why. Well, it's verse 21. Why they didn't get much to eat and what brought them to be lean. Well, the fat cattle, I believe, is the same as the thief also that we read in John 10. They're strong apostate leaders that just feed themselves and make themselves rich and fat upon the sufferings of others. And then he says, because you have thrust with side and with shoulder and pushed all the disease with your horns until you have scattered them abroad. They wouldn't let them eat. Now, I have seen this when I was young on the farm, and we had to take the weaker and the diseased and the roots and take them away and feed them separately because the stronger cattle wouldn't let them eat. They'd just push them away and shove them and butt them and wouldn't let them come up here and eat. And they would eventually die and we'd fed them somewhere else. And so this is the same thought that God is going to judge between this. Therefore I will save my flock and they shall no more be a prey, and I will judge between cattle and cattle. Now, again, some of the of God's cattle, some of his flock, you see, those that are true to him, there's different degrees of these. Some of them are more select than others. And I will set up one shepherd over them, verse 23, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. We know who this is, don't we? This is the Lord Jesus Christ. The phrase here, one shepherd, a good rendering of that, I believe, is one of a kind, or there's none like him. There's no other shepherd like him. One shepherd over them. And this shepherd is going to take care of them and feed them. And he'll be their shepherd. He'll be the good shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken it. This is a fulfillment of the Davidic covenant of the 2 Samuel 7. And I later on will find in the book of Ezekiel, we'll find that there will be a man other than Jesus that will also be a shepherd over the people. But we'll get to that one. We'll study that when we get to it later on. I will make with them a covenant of peace. And I will cause the evil beasts to come out of the land, and they shall dwell safely in the wilderness, and sleep in the woods. There will be no evil beasts. This is that which is contrary to him. Earlier than this, we'll find that the false prophet and the Antichrist are evil beasts. Anything that is not in harmony with the doctrine of Christ will be contrary to this. But all of it will be taken out of the land. There won't be any during the millennial age. And they'll dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods without any fear, we might add. And I will make them at the places round about my hill a blessing. Now this is God's hill. This is Zion. It's going to be a place of joy, a place of happiness. And I will cause a shower to come down in his season, and there shall be showers of blessing. It simply means that when it's needed, those showers in season. You might study into the two references on the early rain and the latter rain. And these are spiritual conditions. The latter rain was never given to the church. It used to be a group. I haven't heard from them for years, but they call themselves the latter rain group. But the latter rain, is the term, is never given to the church. It has only been given to Israel. Because of the faithfulness of God, then they're going to have dependable refreshment just when they need it. And this will make the trees, verse 27, of the field yield her fruit, and the earth shall yield in her increase, and they shall be safe in the land, and shall know that I am the Lord, when I have broken the bands of the yoke, and delivered them out of the hand of those that serve themselves of them. Oh, such a change that is going to come upon them. And how blessed that they will be. In the 26th chapter of Leviticus is an interesting verse. I'd like to read that. In verse 4 through 6. Then will I give you rain in due season. Now this is a promise. Let's read 3 with it. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them. Now, when he becomes their shepherd, he's going to give them the ability to do this. They've never had this ability. They couldn't do this in themselves. But they will in that day. Then I will give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield her fruit. And your threshing shall reach into the vintage, and the vintage shall reach into the sowing time. And ye shall eat your bread to the full and dwell in your land safely. And I will give peace to the land, and ye shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. And I will rid the evil beast out of the land, neither shall the sword go through your land. And there'll be no fear whatsoever. So this is a fulfillment of this promise that God gave them in Leviticus. All right, verse 29. And I will raise up them a plant of renown. Now this is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's called a plant over and over again. And I'm not going to read all these. But you study Isaiah 11 from the first verse. And Jeremiah 23:5, I believe it is. Zechariah 3:8. And also 6:12. I think he called a tree of life there, I believe. Anyway, those are some good references of this plant of renown. He's called a plant out of a dry ground. He's called out of the root of Jesse. And so this is the Lord Jesus. And he's going to raise them a plant that, to feed off. That's what the purpose of a plant is to feed from. So they will. It'll be a plant of renown. And they'll no more consume with hunger in the land, neither bear the shame of the heathen anymore. When they were scattered among the heathens, they bear the shame of the heathen. Thus shall you know that I am the Lord, their God. I am with them. And then in verse 31, you are my flock. The flock of my pasture are men. And I am your God, saith the Lord God. Now all three phases of the word God is used here. The first one is Elohim, which has to do with his power to create. Then we have Adonai, which is lordship. And then the third one is Jehovah. Elohim, Adonai, Jehovah. And so this is his eternal, his self-existing life. But this is what Jesus will be to them when he's sitting on his throne as their good shepherd, as well as a king.